Chapter 13. 1. Brooklyn, Flatlands, and Flatbush. 2. The New Amsterdam. The four other villages on Long Island, viz. Gravesend, Middleburg, Vlissingen, and Heemstede 1 are inhabited by Englishmen. The people of Gravesend are considered Mennonites. The majority of them reject the baptism of infants, the observance of the Sabbath, the office of preacher, and any teachers of God's word. They say that thereby all sorts of contentions have come into the world. Whenever they meet, one or the other reads something to them. At Vlissingen, they formerly had a Presbyterian minister too who was in agreement with our own church. But at present, many of them have become imbued with divers opinions, and it is with them quat amans tot sententi. Less than 3 they began to absent themselves from the sermon, and would not pay the preacher the salary promised to him. He was therefore obliged to leave the place, and go to the English Virginias. They have now been without a preacher for several years. Last year a troublesome fellow, a cobbler from Rhode Island in New England, came there saying he had a commission from Christ. He began to preach at Vlissingen, and then went with the people into the river and baptized them. When this became known here, the fiscal went there, brought him to this place, and he was banished from the province. 1. Gravesend, Newtown, Flushing and Hempstead. 2. Reverend Francis Doughty. 3. As many opinions as men. 4. William Wickenden. The shout of the village was fined £50 for allowing him to preach in his house. At Middleburg, alias Newtown, they are mostly independents, and have a man called Johannes Moore, one of the same way of thinking, who preaches there, but does not serve the sacraments. He says he was licensed in New England to preach, but not authorized to administer the sacraments. He has thus continued for some years. Some of the inhabitants of this village are Presbyterians, but they cannot be supplied by a Presbyterian preacher. Indeed, we do not know that there are any preachers of this denomination to be found among any of the English of New England. 1. John Moore, formerly minister at Hempstead, died this year, 1637. At Hempstead, about 7 leagues from here, there live some independents. There are also many of our own church, and some Presbyterians. They have a Presbyterian preacher, Richard Denton, one a pious, godly and learned man, who is in agreement with our church in everything. The independents of the place listen attentively to his sermons, but when he began to baptize the children of parents who are no members of the church, they rushed out of the church. 1. Reverend Richard Denton, 1586-1662, one of the pioneers of Presbyterianism in America, was a Cambridge man, who came over with Winthrop in 1630, and was settled successively at Watertown, Wethersfield, and Stamford. His differences with the congregational clergy of New England had led to his withdrawal, and since 1644 he had been at Hempstead. On the west shore of the East River, about 1 mile beyond Hellgate, as we call it, and opposite Flushing, is another English village, called Oosterp, which was begun 2 years ago. The inhabitants of this place are also Puritans or Independents. Neither have they a preacher, but they hold meetings on Sunday, and read a sermon of some English writer, and have a prayer. Less than 1 Oosterp Ast village is the present Westchester. After dinner Sunday, December 31st, 1656, Cornelis van Ryven went to the house, where they assemble on Sundays, to observe their mode of worship, as they have not as yet any clergymen. There I found a gathering of about 15 men and 10 or 12 women. Mr. Bolly made a prayer, which being concluded, one Robert Bassett read a sermon from a printed book composed and published by an English minister in England. After the reading Mr. Bolly made another prayer, and they sang a psalm and separated. Journal of Brian Newton A. Als. To Oosterp, Doc. Hist. N. Y. Octavo, 3. 923, such is the condition of the church in our province. To this we must add that, as far as we know, not one of all these places, Dutch or English, has a schoolmaster, except the Manhattans, Beverwijk, and now also Fort Casimir on the South River. Less than one, and although some parents try to give their children some instruction, the success is far from satisfactory, and we can expect nothing else than young men of foolish and undisciplined minds. We see at present no way of improving this state of affairs. First, because some of the villages are just starting, and have no means, the people having come half naked, and poor from Holland, to pay a preacher and schoolmaster. Secondly, because there are few qualified persons here who can or will teach. One Arminus van Hoboken at New Amsterdam, Adrian Jans at Beverwijk, Albany, and since April of this year Vert Pietersen at Fort Casimir. 2 years later, 1659, the company sent over Alexander Carolus Curtius, late professor in Lithuania, to be master of a Latin school in New Amsterdam. We can say but little of the conversion of the heathens or Indians here, and see no way to accomplish it, until they are subdued by the numbers and power of our people, and reduced to some sort of civilization, and also unless our people set them a better example than they have done theretofore. We have had an Indian here with us for about 2 years. He can read and write Dutch very well. We have instructed him in the fundamental principles of our religion, and he answers publicly in church, and can repeat the commandments. We have given him a Bible, hoping he might do some good among the Indians, but it all resulted in nothing. He took to drinking brandy, he pawned the Bible, and turned into a regular beast, doing more harm than good among the Indians. Closing, we commend your reverences to the gracious protection of the Almighty, whom we pray to bless you in the sacred ministry. Vestrae officiae effectu, 1 yours both officially and actually. Johannes Megpolensis. Samuel Drisius. Amsterdam, in New Netherland, the 5th of August, 1657. Revs. Megapolensis and Drisius to the classes of Amsterdam, October 25, 1657. Brethren in Christ. Since our last letter, which we hope you are receiving about this time, we have sent in a petition in relation to the Lutheran minister, Johannes Ernestus Gutwisser. Having marked this on its margin, we have sent it to the Rev. Brethren of the classes. We hope that the classes will take care that, if possible, no other be sent over, as it is easier to send out an enemy than afterward to thrust him out. We have the promise that the magistrates here will compel him to leave with the ship the wage. It is said that there has been collected for him at Fort Orange 100 beaver skins, which are valued here at 800 guilders, and which is the surest pay in this country. What has been collected here, we cannot tell. Our magistrates have forbidden him to preach, as he has received no authority from the directors at Amsterdam for that purpose. Yet we hear that the Hon. Directors at Amsterdam gave him permission to come over. We have stated in a previous letter the injurious tendency of this with reference to the prosperity of our church. Lately we have been troubled by others. Some time since, a shoemaker, one leaving his wife and children, came here and preached in conventicles. He was fined, and not being able to pay, was sent away. Again a little while ago there arrived here a ship with Quakers, as they are called. They went away to New England, or more particularly, to Rhode Island, a place of errorists and enthusiasts. It is called by the English themselves the Latrinae of New England. They left several behind them here, who labored to create excitement and tumult among the people, particularly two women, the one about 20, and the other about 28. Less than three of these were quite outrageous. After being examined and placed in prison, they were sent away. Subsequently a young man at Hempstead, an English town under the government, aged about 23 or 24 years, four was arrested, and brought thence, 7 leagues. He had pursued a similar course, and brought several under his influence. The magistrate, in order to repress the evil in the beginning, after he had kept him in confinement for several days, adjudged that he should either pay 100 guilders or work at the wheelbarrow 2 years with the Negroes. This he obstinately refused to do, though whipped on his back. After 2 or 3 days he was whipped in private on his bare back, with threats that the whipping would be repeated again after 2 or 3 days, if he should refuse to labor. Upon this a letter was brought by an unknown messenger from a person unknown to the Director General. The import of this, written in English, was, "Think, my Lord Director, whether it be not best to send him to Rhode Island, as his labor is hardly worth the cost." 1 William Wickenden, of Rhode Island. 2 Sink. 3 Dorothy Waugh, afterward whipped at Boston, and Mary Weatherhead. 4 Robert Hodgson, who had come on the same ship with the preceding. A contemporary Quaker writer attributes his release to the intercession of Stuyvesant's sister, Mrs. Anna Bayard. Persecution of Quakers and other sectaries in New Netherland was continued by Stuyvesant, and finally culminated in the case of John Bowne, of Flushing, a Quaker, who has left us an interesting account of his suffering, printed in the American Historical Record I-48. Banished from the province and transported to Holland, Bowne laid his case before the directors of the West India Company, who reproved Stuyvesant by a letter in which they said, April 16, 1663, "The consciences of men ought to remain free and unshackled." This maxim of moderation has always been the guide of the magistrates in this city, and the consequence has been that people have flocked from every land to this asylum. Tread thus in their steps, and we doubt not you will be blessed. Since the arrival of the wage from the South River, the director has again written to Joanne's Ernest Scutwasser to go away. On this he presented a petition, a copy of which herewith transmitted, as also a copy signed by several of the Lutheran denomination. We observe that it is signed by the least respectable of that body, and that the most influential among them were unwilling to trouble themselves with it. Some assert that he has brought with him authority from the West India Company to act as minister. Whether dismission and return will take place without trouble remains to be seen. We are at this time in great want of English ministers. It is more than 2 years since Mr. Doughty, of Flushing, which is a town here, went to Virginia, where he is now a preacher. He left because he was not well supported. On October 13th, Mr. Moore, of Middleburg, which is another town here, died of a pestilential disease, which prevailed in several of our English towns and in New England. He left a widow with 7 or 8 children. A year before, being dissatisfied with the meager and irregular payments from his hearers, he went to Barbados, to seek another place. Mr. Richard Denton, who is sound in faith, of a friendly disposition, and beloved by all, cannot be induced by us to remain, although we have earnestly tried to do this in various ways. He first went to Virginia to seek a situation, complaining of lack of salary, and that he was getting in debt, but he has returned thence. He is now fully resolved to go to Old England, because his wife, who is sickly, will not go without him, and there is need of their going there, on account of a legacy of £400, lately left by a deceased friend, and which they cannot obtain except by their personal presence. At Gravesend there never has been a minister. Other settlements, yet in their infancy, as Arnhem, one have no minister. It is therefore to be feared that errorists and fanatics may find opportunity to gain strength. We therefore request you, Rev. Brethren, to solicit the Hon. Directors of the West India Company, to send over 1 or 2 English preachers, and that directions may be given to the magistracy, that the money paid by the English, be paid to the magistrate, and not to the preacher, which gives rise to dissatisfaction, and that at the proper time any existing deficiency may be supplied by the Hon. Directors. Otherwise we do not see how the towns will be able to obtain ministers, or if they obtain them, how they will be able to retain them. Complaints continually reach us about the payment of ministers. Nevertheless, in New England there are few places without a preacher, although there are many towns, stretching for more than 100 leagues along the coast. Hoping that by God's blessing, and your care something may be effected in this matter, we remain. 1 Arnhem was a village begun on Smith's Island in Newton Creek. Your friends and fellow laborers, Johannes Megapolensis, Samuel Drisius. Manhattan's, October 22, 1657. Rev. Brethren, since the writing of the above letter, and before sealing it, we have learned from the Hon. Directors and the fiscal, that Joanne's Ernest Scutwasser is not to be found, that his bedding and books were 2 days ago removed, and that he has left our jurisdiction. Still, it is our opinion that he remains concealed here, in order to write home, and make his appearance, as if out of the fatherland, and to persevere with the Lutherans in his efforts. We therefore hope and pray that you may, if possible, take measures to prevent this. Samuel Drisius. October 25, 1657. To the Rev. Learned, etc. The deputies ad res indicas of the classis of Amsterdam. Rev. J. Megapolensis to the classis of Amsterdam, September 28, 1658. Redi. Paters a fraters in Christo colon 1, in a preceding letter of September 24, 1658, two mention was made of a Jesuit who came to this place, Manhattan's, overland, from Canada. I shall now explain the matter more fully, for your better understanding of it. It happened in the year 1642, when I was minister in the colony of Rensselaerswyck, that our Indians in the neighborhood, who are generally called Maquas, but who call themselves Kajinjahaga, were at war with the Canadian or French Indians, who are called by our Indians Adirondacka. Among the prisoners whom our Indians had taken from the French, was this Jesuit, three whom they according to their custom had handled severely. When he was brought to us, his left thumb and several fingers on both hands, had been cut off, either wholly or in part, and the nails of the remaining fingers had been chewed off. As this Jesuit had been held in captivity by them for some time, they consented that he should go among the Dutch, but only when accompanied by some of them. At last the Indians resolved to burn him. Concerning this he came to me with grievous complaint. We advised him that next time the Indians were asleep, he should run away, and come to us, and we would protect and secure him, and send him by ship to France. This was done. After concealing him, and entertaining him for 6 weeks, we sent him to the Manhattans, and thence to England and France, as he was a Frenchman, born at Paris. Less than 4, 1 reverend fathers and brothers in Christ. 2 ecclesiastical records, State of New York, I 432-434. 3 Father Jokes, see earlier entries. 4 Father Jokes was born in Orleans. Afterward this same Jesuit came again from France to Canada. As our Indians had made peace with the French, he again left Canada, and took up his residence among the Mohawks. He indulged in the largest expectations of converting them to popery, but the Mohawks with their hatchets, put him to a violent death. They then brought and presented to me his missal, and breviary together with his underclothing, shirts and coat. When I said to them, that I would not have thought, that they would have killed this Frenchman, they answered, that the Jesuits did not consider the fact, that their people, the French, were always planning to kill the Dutch. In the year 1644 our Indians again took captive a Jesuit, one who had been treated in the same manner, as to his hands and fingers as the above mentioned. The Jesuit was brought to us naked, with his maimed and bloody fingers. We clothed him, placed him under the care of our surgeon, and he almost daily fed at my table. This Jesuit, a native of Rouen, too was ransomed by us from the Indians, and we sent him by ship to France. He also returned again from France to Canada. He wrote me a letter, as the previously mentioned one had done, thanking me for the benefits I had conferred on him. He stated also, that he had not argued, when with me, on the subject of religion, yet he had felt deeply interested in me on account of my soul, and admonished me to come again into the papal church from which I had separated myself. In each case I returned such a reply, that a second letter was never sent me. One Father Gaius of Bresson I, 1612-1672, 2 of Rome, in fact. The French have now for some time been at peace with our Indians. In consequence thereof, it has happened that several Jesuits have again gone among our Indians, who are located about 4 or 5 days' journey from Fort Orange. But they did not permanently locate themselves there. All returned to Canada except one, named Simon Lemoyne. He has several times accompanied the Indians out of their own country, and visited Fort Orange. At length he came here to the Manhattans, doubtless at the invitation of Papists living here, especially for the sake of the French privateers, who are Papists, and have arrived here with a good prize. He represented that he had heard the other Jesuits speak much of me, who had also highly praised me for the favors and benefits I had shown them, that he therefore could not, while present here, neglect personally to pay his respects to me, and thank me for the kindness extended to their society. 1. He told me that during his residence among our Indians he had discovered a salt spring, situated fully 100 leagues from the sea, and the water was so salt, that he had himself boiled excellent salt from it. Less than 1. 2. There was also another spring which furnished oil. A legionous matter floated on its surface, with which the Indians anointed their heads. 3. There was another spring of hot sulphurous water. If paper and dry materials were thrown into it, they became ignited. Whether all this is true, or a mere Jesuit lie, I will not decide. I mention the whole on the responsibility and authority of the Jesuit. One Father Lemoyne made this discovery, while sojourning among the Onondagas in 1654. He told me, that he had lived about 20 years among the Indians. When he was asked, what fruit had resulted from his labors, and whether he had taught the Indians anything more than to make the sign of the cross, and such like superstitions, he answered that he was not inclined to debate with me, but wanted only to chat. He spent 8 days here, and examined everything in our midst. He then liberally dispensed his indulgences, for he said to the Papists in the hearing of one of our people who understood French, that they need not go to Rome, that he had as full power from the Pope to forgive their sins, as if they were to go to Rome. He then returned and resided in the country of the Mohawks the whole winter. In the spring, however, troubles began to arise again between our Indians and the Canadians. He then packed up his baggage, and returned to Canada. On his journey, when at Fort Orange, he did not forget me, but sent me 3 documents. The first, on the succession of the popes, the second, on the councils, and the third was about heresies, all written out by himself. He sent with them also, a letter to me, in which he exhorted me to peruse carefully these documents, and meditate on them, and that Christ hanging on the cross, was still ready to receive me, if penitent. I answered him by the letter herewith forwarded, which was sent by a yacht going from here to the River St. Lawrence in New France. Less than 1 I know, not whether I shall receive an answer. Valet, Domini Fraters, Vester ex officia, 2, Joannes Megapolensis 1658, September 28. 1 of the fruits of Father Lemoyne's visit to New Netherland, was that the Dutch obtained from the Governor of Canada permission to carry on trade, except the fur trade, on the St. Lawrence. 2 Farewell, brethren, yours officially. Rev. Henricus Sellens to the Classis of Amsterdam, October 4, 1660, Reverend, wise and pious teachers. We cannot be so forgetful, as to omit to inform you concerning our churches and services. While at sea, we did not neglect religious worship, but every morning and evening we besought God's guidance and protection, with prayer and the singing of a psalm. On Sundays and feast days the Holy Gospel was read, when possible. The sacrament was not administered on shipboard, and we had no sick people during the voyage. God's favor brought us all here in safety and health. Arrived in New Netherland, we were first heard at the Manhattans, but the peace negotiations at the Esopus, one where we also went, and the general business of the government necessarily delayed our installation until now. We have preached here at the Esopus, also at Fort Orange. During this time of waiting we were well provided with food and lodging. Esopus needs more people, but Brooklyn more money. Wherefore I serve on Sundays, in the evenings only, at the General's Bowery, too at his expense. The installation at Brooklyn was made by the Honorable Nicasius DeSille, Fiscal, 3 and Martin Kriegers, Burgomaster, 4 with an open commission from His Honor the Director General. Less than 5 I was cordially received by the magistrates and consistory, and greeted by Domin Polhemius. We do not preach in a church, but in a barn. Next winter we shall, by God's favor, and the general assistance of the people, erect a church. When the Indians of Esopus had broken out in hostilities in the autumn of 1659, the next summer Stuyvesant went there, after some defeats of the tribe, and made peace formally, July 15, 1660. A congregation had lately been formed there, which called Domin Arminus Blom to be its pastor. To Stuyvesant's Bowery, or farm, acquired by him in 1651, lay in the present region of 3rd Avenue and 10th Street. Near the present site of St. Mark's Church he built a chapel for his family, his Negro slaves, some 40 in number, and the other inhabitants of the neighborhood. 3 of New Netherland. 4 of New Amsterdam. 5 for this letter of induction, see Ecclesiastical Records, I 480. The audience is passably large, coming from Middlewout, New Amersfoort, and often Gravesend increases it, but most come from the Manhattans. The ferry, the Wallabict, and Guyans, one all belong to Brooklyn. The ferry is about 2,000 paces across the river, or to the Manhattans, from the Brooklyn ferry. I found at Brooklyn one elder, 2 deacons, 24 members, 31 householders, and 134 people. The consistory will remain for the present as it is. In due time we will have more material, and we will know the congregation better. Catechizing will not be held here before the winter, but we will begin it at the preaching service there. It will be most suitable to administer the Lord's Supper on Christmas, Easter, Whitsuntide, and in September. On the day following these festivals days a Thanksgiving sermon will be preached. I might have taken up my residence at the Manhattans, because of its convenience, but my people, all of them evincing their love and affection for me, have provided me a dwelling of which I cannot complain. I preach at Brooklyn in the morning, but at the Bowery at the end of the catechetical sermon. The Bowery is a place of relaxation and pleasure, whither people go from the Manhattans, for the evening service. There are there 40 Negroes, from the region of the Negro coast, besides the household families. There is here as yet no consistory, but the deacons from New Amsterdam provisionally receive the alms, and at least one deacon, if not an elder, ought to be chosen there. Besides myself, there are in New Netherland the Domins Joannes Megapolensis and Samuel Drisius at New Amsterdam, Domin Gideon Schatz at Fort Orange, Domin Joannes Polhemius at Middlewout and New Amersfoort, and Domin Herminus Blom at the Esopus. I have nothing more to add, except to express my sincere gratitude, and to make my respectful acknowledgments. I commend your reverences, wise and pious teachers, to God's protection, and am, yours humbly, Henricus Sellens, minister of the Holy Gospel at Brooklyn. Greater than from Amsterdam on the Manhattans, October 4, 1660. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.